Case number 12-1327, BNSF Railway Company Petitioner v. Surface Transportation Board et al. Mr. Bress for the petitioner, Mr. Light for the respondents, and Mr. Lesser for the intervenors.
Judge Kavanaugh, and may it please the court. We're here today before this court because the board failed to do what this court asked it to do almost 4 years ago. In that decision, this court remanded for the board to consider a substantial double counting objection that we had made to the board's modified average total cost, or modified ATC, method for allocating crossover traffic. On remand, the board affirmed its view that modified ATC is better than its original ATC, but without ever addressing, directly or specifically, the double counting issue that this court remanded for it to address. However, the board immediately started a rulemaking in which it addressed that very issue, considered it, agreed with our point of view on it, and adopted a new alternative ATC that incorporates the suggestion that we've made all along, which is that modified ATC certainly shouldn't apply to traffic for which original ATC does not cause the problem that the board had identified.
So the precise relief you're asking us to grant is what? What do you want us to say in our opinion in the final paragraph? Direct the board to do what?
Your Honor, I believe the board should be directed to apply alternative ATC to this case. Now, I understand that that is unusual, but I think this is an unusual case.
Unusual would be something of an understatement.
And if I may explain, Judge Sintel, this is a situation where the board has already agreed with our objection to modified ATC, the double counting objection, and they've already gotten rid of it for all cases going forward, using the base foundation alternative that we've been telling them all along, which is at the very least, don't apply it. Once you do the ATC test, if there isn't an inadequate revenue problem, stop there. That's all you need to do for that traffic. They've adopted that. Now, I suppose this court could remand and allow them one more bite at the apple to say why nonetheless they may not want to apply it in this case. But it would be very odd, particularly given the history of this case, where the board, sua sponte, adopted modified ATC, departing from the rule that it had promulgated and this court had affirmed for ATC. Not only sua sponte adopted it, but sua sponte gave WFA the benefit of it, even though WFA had never mentioned it at all. In this case, we objected to the problem with modified ATC as soon as it was announced in 2007. The board agrees with us now that it's the right answer. It would be passing strange for them not to give us the benefit of it when, in contrast to WFA, we're actually the ones that saw the problem and gave the solution to it. They had done neither of those things with original ATC.
Now, or if we agreed with you on the basic point, ordinarily wouldn't we remand for them either to apply alternative ATC or explain why it shouldn't apply?
I think that's right, Your Honor, and it may be even a little bit broader in the following sense. They have yet to explain why modified ATC, with all of its problems, including its completely unjustifiable double counting for most of the traffic on these SARs, is nonetheless better than regular ATC.
The only thing that was remanded was the double counting, because your brief before us in the previous iteration of this case contained only one very short paragraph, saying that the double counting that you were referring to was a distinct objection. I think that's the language in your brief. and the board never addressed it. And so the only thing that went back was that question of counting variable costs at two steps.
All right, if I may address that, Your Honor, on page 53 and 54 of that very brief, we explain what double counting is. We even have a chart explaining what the problem is numerically.
Page 54 of...
53 and 54 of our brief before the court last time we were here.
Last time.
Yes.
Now, you know that we were not preparing this case based on the briefs from last time.
What's that doing?
You understand we were not preparing this case based on the briefs from last time.
Oh, no. Yeah. Your Honor, I perfectly understand. I'm just responding to Judge Randolph's question about how we addressed the issue last time we were here. So on pages 53 and 54, we explain what the double counting issue is. We explain that it's an issue that only arises in circumstances where the revenue that original ATC would attribute to the OnStar portion of crossover traffic is sufficient to cover its variable costs. In other words, where the traffic doesn't have the problem for which the board invented modified ATC. And we explain that as to that traffic, even though ATC does a perfectly good job, and in fact the right job, in allocating revenue, modified ATC nonetheless double counts variable costs. We explain that it counts it first because it first allocates revenue just based on relative variable cost, not taking into account fixed cost at all. Does that up to the point where you have met the variable cost for both portions of the crossover traffic. At that point, it applies regular ATC, which is allocating by average total cost. Average total cost includes both fixed and variable. So you've counted variable once, and then you're counting variable again. And the problem with that is it insufficiently accounts for economies of density and biases the analysis in favor of the shippers. So we explained all of that, and then in that paragraph to which you cite, Judge Randolph, we said they never addressed that issue at all. Now, the way I read this court's remand is there was a substantial objection made to modified ATC. The board hadn't explained its view of that objection at all, hadn't given this court any, or the public for that matter, any answer to that objection. And this court was not equipped at that point to decide the rest of our objection, which is that adopting modified ATC was arbitrary and capricious, until the board went back and did its homework and at least explained that. So I actually think this court decided nothing about the ATC argument that we made last time we were here.
We certainly didn't say modified ATC is reasonable or not arbitrary and capricious.
No, I think the court actually decided nothing about it.
It denied, I thought the last line, I don't have it in front of me, but I thought the last line of the opinion was that we remanded to address your double counting argument. And in all other respects, your petition is denied.
I think that is what it said, Your Honor, and I think what this court was referring to is we had made two other arguments, substantial arguments in that brief. We had argued about a three-year rule, and we had argued about an MMM methodology. The court was clearly rejecting those. But the court had no ability to address whether modified ATC was arbitrary and capricious or not until the board went back and did what this court said, which was, we need you to first tell us what you think about this double counting problem. I mean, in any event, when it went back, they didn't address the double counting problem, and that's really where we find ourselves today. If you look at the remand order, at pages 4 and 5, it actually recounts our objection to the double counting issue, both in the 2007 reconsideration order and then later in the third supplemental reply. That's on pages 4 and 5. You get to pages 9 and 10, and the board then defines, it has a section called double counting, but it defines what double counting means in a way that doesn't include double counting at all or doesn't reference it at all. It just says double counting problem is insufficiently taking account of economies of density on the in the analysis. Well, that's obviously true as a general matter. That's our general objection. But what they're not hitting there is our specific objection, which they acknowledged four pages before that we've been making all along, which is it as to traffic that doesn't cause the problems for which they invented modified ATC, the modified ATC method nonetheless fails to account for economies of density. In other words, for no justifiable reason at all, it does that by double counting variable costs. you can look in vain on pages 9 and 10, and you won't see them address that at all. What they instead do is say that they have weighed, and this is another way of thinking about this, they say that they have weighed two competing principles here. One is that you should take out of economies of density, and the other is that the revenue accounted to particular traffic should at least equal its variable costs. And they say these are sometimes in tension. They say modified ATC best accommodates these competing principles. But how can they make that decision without taking into account the fact that for much of the traffic at issue, modified ATC does great violence to the first principle without giving any benefit on the second at all, because the second isn't even implicated? So the crux of their reasoning doesn't take into account the double counting objection in the least. They then go on, of course, to say that everything we've been saying about double counting, essentially, that it's, you know, is disproportionate in the sense that it's over an overbroad solution, has been waived, although that's been our objection all along. And then they say that we waived any argument that we've presented an alternative, which is also wrong. We've continuously said, at the very least, don't apply modified ATC in circumstances where it's not indicated, in circumstances where revenues do at least cover variable costs under regular ATC. Now, it's true, by the way, that the alternative we gave them on remand is slightly more elegant. I mean, it does everything I've just said, but then it also corrects for an inefficiency where revenues don't equal variable costs. In other words, even in the circumstances where we're no longer objecting to the application of modified ATC, our solution came up with a better way of doing that. But the basis for our solution has always been the same. If you don't need modified ATC for particular traffic, don't use it. It's fairly simple. I have no further point on affirmative. I can save rebuttal unless you've got questions. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Mr. Light?
May it please the Court, Eric Light for the STB and the United States. With me is Mr. John Lesore, counsel for the Interveners, Western Fuels Association, and Basin Electric Power Cooperative. Your Honors, the record is clear in this case. Before the remand, BNSF saw only one thing in relation to revenue allocation. It wanted the board to use original ATC, period. Now, when it achieved only a partial victory, a partial remand, instead of an outright victory, then BN started to hedge its bets, its all-or-nothing bet on original ATC. While still pushing that methodology on remand, BN introduced a whole new, brand-new methodology, alternative ATC. But a new methodology was not part of this court's remand. The board properly rejected BN's attempt to expand the scope of the remand to include a new methodology.
Well, has this court ever passed on whether modified ATC is arbitrary and capricious?
Your Honor, the court did not address that. The board simply sent it back.
Right, so we've never actually addressed that question, right?
Correct, Your Honor. What the court did was it said, go back and address the double count objection. And what the double count objection
was...
objection was that because modified ATC includes variable costs in both steps of the analysis, it improperly weighs or improperly gives effect. It does not give sufficient effect to economies of density. And BN said the problem with that is that it biases the SAC analysis. So that was the end result of BN's argument, that modified ATC biases the SAC analysis. On remand,
at least as to certain kinds of traffic,
that wasn't prepared. Correct.
That's the key kind of alternative or embedded position they have, right? At least as to certain kinds of traffic, high-rated traffic.
And what the board said on remand was that it is true that modified ATC does not give as much weight to economies of density as original ATC, but there is another factor to consider, because what happened was the board applied original ATC to the original traffic group, and it revealed that original ATC could produce results that really are in conflict with reality. What happened is that, as applied to low-rated traffic, original ATC, on the high-density segments, it would allocate variable costs that were below, revenues that were below the variable costs. As to the low-density segments, it would allocate not only enough to cover the variable costs, but also revenues to make a contribution to fixed costs. And the problem with that was on these particular movements, there was insufficient revenue to make any contribution to fixed costs. Yet original ATC was giving the board an answer which says there is revenue to go towards fixed costs.
Let me try to cut through some of this from my perspective.
Okay.
Maybe I'm not grasping it fully. But we've never passed on modified ATC, this court. Right?
Correct.
We agreed on that. And the board, as you sit here today, is the board defending modified ATC?
Yes, Your Honor. The board believes that modified ATC does a better job of accommodating both of these important principles that the board identified better than original ATC.
Now, what about alternative ATC?
Well, the board has done a rulemaking and has determined that alternative ATC is better than modified ATC.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. So why? We've never passed on modified ATC. So it's here before us now. And the board itself thinks there's a better approach than modified ATC, namely alternative ATC. So now that it's here today, teed up for us for the first time, because we've never passed on modified ATC before, the board itself, as I understand it, doesn't say modified ATC is the right way to go. Rather, alternative ATC is the right way to go. So why shouldn't alternative ATC be applied here, I guess is the question.
Well, because this court remanded the issue before this court in the first time around was either original ATC or modified ATC. There was no third alternative.
Complaints, I guess that I had read their brief the first time around to kind of raise broader objections to modified ATC. I didn't read it to just say return to original ATC, if that's the right term, but it was raising objections about how modified ATC was not an appropriate formula, at least, and again, that embedded part, mm-hmm. at least as to certain kinds of traffic was not an appropriate formula. And we never passed on that. We just sent it back as part of it we thought was not fully explained by the board. Then it goes back to the board. Now it's back to us. I understand the whole issue about the challenge to modified ATC to be before us now. And then, so if that's true, the whole challenge to modified ATC is before us now. But the board itself doesn't think modified ATC is the right way to go. I'm having trouble figuring out why we shouldn't just tell the board either apply alternative ATC or tell us why we would stick with modified ATC here, even though you, board itself, think it's not the right way to go, which I'm not sure how they would explain that, but anyway.
Well,
what am I missing here? I just think maybe the confusion all comes from the way the prior opinion of this court was phrased. I read it to simply say we're not going to pass on this objection because there's some things the board hasn't explained. So after the board explains it, come back to us again, we'll consider the objection. Well, here we are. And maybe there was some confusion back at the board or about what we were saying. I didn't see that confusion. But anyway, that might be the source of the problem here.
Well, I think the way to think about it, Your Honor, is was BN in the last appeal suggesting, well, if there is a problem with original ATC, there's a better way of handling that problem than modified ATC? Did BN ever say that anywhere in its briefs in the last appeal? And if it didn't, then this court could not have remanded that issue to the board. And
well, could not have remanded what to the board?
The question of whether there was a better alternative than modified ATC.
If we were vacating what the board had done, and I realize the order is not perhaps as clear as it could be on that, if we were vacating what had been done, does it really come down to the question of whether it's on one or the other issue? I mean, I know we said what issue it was that was causing the action by the court, but didn't that vacate the order so that the board really had the jurisdiction to examine everything about it?
I didn't see the word vacate in
it's not in there.
In there.
It's
so
grant the petitions in part.
Yeah, and we were not very clear about what we were doing.
I don't believe the court vacated the board's decision. It just said you better explain that decision.
Mm-hmm.
That the arguments that are before us now are not arguments that were made before the court?
Exactly, Your Honor. If you look at the ATC-related arguments that BN made in the last appeal, They were general, almost entirely, they were general in nature about the supposed virtues of original ATC versus the supposed, you know, defects of modified ATC. Only when you get to that one paragraph at the end of their brief does BN talk about, well, even if there is...
But even if, that's a common way for lawyers to argue, right, which is there's a big problem with this modified ATC, and even if there's a small problem, you know, even if there's not a big problem, there's a small problem.
But it's important to look at what they said
in
the paragraph.
That in there, right?
What they said in the paragraph
and it's
was...
in the text of the brief, not in a footnote.
In the text of the brief, what they said was...
Yeah, even you're an expert on footnotes, and you're not on footnotes.
You're right.
I don't think I've ever seen that many footnotes in the brief before.
Most of them are just cites to the, you know, to the cases.
Or so. The Garner approach.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I try.
What
was I saying? I was saying, if you look at the... what they said in the paragraph was that if there is a problem with original ATC, theoretically, there's no problem in practice in this case because when WFA revised its traffic group, it eliminated all low-rated traffic. And the board's response to that on remand was, no, it didn't eliminate all low-rated traffic. There still is low-rated traffic in this traffic group.
So they come up last time and say modified ATC is a big problem. And gets sent back to the board to explain more thoroughly. And now they're back saying modified ATC is a problem. And your answer essentially is, well, it's better than original ATC, even though we agree it stinks as compared to alternative ATC. I mean, that's a very odd way for us to decide the case, isn't it?
Well, I mean,
I'm overstating and being colloquial, no, but that's the basic gist of what I take.
This court sent back a particular issue. The board addressed it, and then BN realized, whoops.
Well, we sent back, I guess this goes, this is helping to focus in on what the source of the problem is here, which is, I read our prior decision to say we're not going to resolve this issue, this challenge to modified ATC, because we don't have the tools at hand to resolve it, because at least they certainly haven't explained this one issue. But we didn't resolve that issue one way or other, so now it's back to us, which is the general challenge to modified ATC, seems to me.
It seems to me, Your Honor, that BN should not be able to expand the scope of the remand by introducing new issues on the remand.
That's the question. Are they expanding the scope of the remand or not? And I don't. I can see why. Mm-hmm. I can see what you're focusing on, but I don't really see that they're expanding the scope of the remand if the issue was never resolved. Otherwise, the challenge to modified ATC has never really been resolved. The general challenge to modified ATC.
It would have given them a real good chance to criticize the court if they had gone into this in detail.
I think they were absolutely expanding the scope of the remand because by introducing a whole new methodology that they had not advocated before, that has to be expanding the scope of the remand. When the issue before this court the first time was, I mean, it was basically a choice between original or modified ATC, and there was no suggestion that, well, there's a better way of handling it. Better way of handling the problem with original ATC. That has to be expanding the scope of the remand, Your Honor.
The remand was to get a further explanation on a part of the issue so that we could resolve the general challenge to the issue. The original challenge was to modified ATC. Modified ATC is improper. There's a separate issue, what should take its place, but their basic challenge was modified ATC is improper. We've never resolved that. We didn't resolve that last time. We said we can't resolve it until we have a better, clear explanation from the board, and then we'll resolve it. I mean, that I'm adding that last part, but I think that's implicit, and then we'll resolve it.
And then the board addressed that challenge on remand, and BN said, well, wait a second, if there really is still some low-rated traffic in this traffic group, we've got a new argument, and that new argument is that, well, modified ATC is an overreaction to the problem with original ATC, and there's a better way of handling it than either modified or original. Here, we call it alternative
ATC. That alternative ATC comes from their embedded alternative argument in the original challenge to modified ATC, as I read it. Again, you know more than I do about this, but as I read it, their original challenge to modified ATC might have been, you don't need it at all, but it was, even if you have it, it's overbroad as to certain kinds of traffic, which essentially is the seeds of what now is alternative ATC, if I'm understanding things correctly.
Your Honor, BN never asked the board until remand to adopt any alternative methodology anything other than original ATC.
The way the case was presented, there was a general overall objection because it was not reasoned to the board's adoption of the modified version. And then there was, to quote again the brief of the petitioners, there was a distinct objection on the basis of double counting. The only thing that the court did was allow the double counting part of that to go back to the board. I'm stating your position so I understand. The rest of the petition, which must include the overall objection to the modified version as not reasoned, had to be part of the petition that was denied. I don't know what other part of the petition there was that was denied.
Your Honor, I think you're right that the court simply remanded the double count objection and the board addressed that objection.
But on that, just on the denial, so I understand the prior opinion, there were several other issues in the prior case, right? So that those challenges were denied.
Correct, Your Honor.
And the ambiguity, again, I think we're finding some ambiguity. The ambiguity is whether that part of the general challenge to modified ATC was somehow denied, even though we remanded double counting. And I don't see how that, I don't see the court saying that, nor do I see the court really analyzing the challenge.
The board's position, it doesn't matter. Whatever BN said in the first appeal, it had nothing to do with an alternative methodology. And therefore, this court could not have remanded any alternative, for the board to consider an alternative methodology. BN's position was original ATC is fine as a theoretical matter, and even if it's not fine as a theoretical matter, there's no problem to correct in this particular case. There's nothing in that about an alternative methodology, and the board, BN never...
What if the board had agreed there was a problem?
On remand?
Mm-hmm. Which our remand certainly allowed the board to reach the conclusion that there was a problem. Then what would the board have done?
Well,
could the board have done?
I think in this case, the board looked at, well, you know, that wasn't something that the court actually sent back to us.
Focus on my question. If the board found that the double counting was a problem in some respects, what could the board have done, in your view?
Could it have adopted alternative ATC in this particular case?
Yeah.
I think probably it could have.
Exactly.
But the problem
so
here was that
to do what they're being asked to do, right?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
It had jurisdiction. I guess we're not supposed to use that word with respect to agencies anymore.
Authority.
It had the authority to do exactly what it is they're being asked to do.
I think so, Your Honor. And the board also had the authority to say you forfeited the issue by not raising it before the board.
Okay.
So unless the court has any further questions, we ask that the court deny the petition for review.
Okay. Thank you. Let's see. Mr. Lesser?
May it please the court, my name is John Lesser. I'm appearing here today on behalf of the Interveners, Western Fuels Association, and Basin Electric Power Cooperative. We were the complainants in the proceeding below. And just based upon some of these questions, I think you can understand that we're sort of caught in the middle of this. But let me give you, at least from our perspective, what the problems we as the complainants have in this case. Basin Electric and Western Fuels, I'll refer to them collectively as WFA or Western Fuels, own a power plant in Wyoming. They're nonprofits. The power plant serves nine Western and Midwestern states. In 2004, the Burlington Northern imposed a $1 billion rate increase on this traffic. WFA is a captive shipper, had to go to the STB, try to prove its entitlement to relief under this convoluted SAC standard. We started out with one revenue allocation method called MSP. We spent about $6 million modeling a railroad to maximize revenues, minimize expenses using MSP. 2006, the board retroactively changes the rules, comes up with a new set of rules. We have to redo our railroad a second time because our first railroad doesn't work. These various standards here basically impact the bottom line. We, as complainants, cannot model our railroads unless we know how to calculate the revenues. So the BN comes up here before this court, and what it was interested in was original ATC. It said use original ATC. And so the issue was whether the board had somehow improperly modified original ATC with modified ATC, the double counts variable cost. That issue was sent back to the board to review. And then on remand, BNSF comes up with alternative ATC. We've never seen alternative ATC before. From our perspective, if you apply alternative ATC retroactively to our railroad the way it is right now, it wipes out most of our rate relief. And so from our perspective, the issue that was before this court was original ATC versus modified ATC. The board went back down.
The board now has adopted alternative ATC as a general proposition, right?
Right, and that gets into the issue of finality. How many times does a shipper have to redo its railroad? We've done it twice. We spent $8 million, and the standards keep changing. Now, if they just applied them prospectively, that would be fine. I don't think that's really been resolved yet in this case. But when they start changing these things and going back, we're caught in the
middle. Just to defend the board a little bit, is they've adopted approaches, seen problems with them, tried to perfect it. I fully sympathize with the retroactivity issues.
Yeah, but we're caught. Does it end? How about at the end of this case, you come up with another one? So from our perspective,
final's better than perfect sometimes.
Right. Yeah. From our perspective, the narrow issue before the court was whether the board erred in modifying original ATC. They went down on remand and said, well, we recognize that modified ATC doesn't give the same weight to economies of density as original ATC. The modified ATC has some other virtues. In the sequence of time, modified ATC is better than original ATC. But then BN says on remand, we have a better idea, alternative ATC. The board says, okay, we'll have a rulemaking proceeding to see whether we think that's a better approach. But you have to look at these things in historical sequence. You can't start at the end and start, and that's our point, which is the court's decision was in the sequence between original ATC and modified ATC. And BN says here today they've always pitched alternative ATC. We never saw it before until remand. If you read the record in this case, it's in the joint appendix. BN's position was original ATC all the way. Now, they mentioned a lot of problems with modified ATC, but it was always going back to this thing is so flawed, you should use original ATC, not so that you should come up with an alternative. And as I say, from our perspective, we can't quantify something we didn't see. When this record was reopened in 2007, if BN had come in and said, consider alternative ATC, which they didn't do, then we could have said, you know, we agree or disagree with it, probably would have disagreed with it. The board could have issued a ruling at that time. And if they said, okay, we're going to use alternative ATC, we could have modeled our little railroad to maximize revenues with alternative ATC. But what BN did in 2007 was come in and say, use original ATC. It wasn't use original ATC or something else. It was just
I think you said this, but they were pointing out the problems with modified ATC. And the perfect solution at that time from their perspective was to use original ATC. But some of the problems, I mean, there's a middle ground, right, or another ground.
Right.
Which is, even if you don't go back to original ATC, you shouldn't stick with modified ATC.
They never asked the board to do it at that time, and it was critical because at that time the board had said, we're going to use modified ATC in this reopened proceeding unless UBN or you, Western Fuels, convince us to do something else. We went in with another revenue allocation method called MSP, and we're told we're not using that again. And the BN went in with original ATC. They didn't go with original ATC or some alternative. It was original ATC. And so it has very practical impacts because we have to know how to quantify our revenues. If they had said alternative ATC in a timely manner, at that time, the issue could have been resolved. Now we've done our railroad for a second time with modified ATC. This alternative thing comes in, you know, 10 years after the case was filed.
Okay.
You know, thank you very much.
Thank you for your helpful perspective, Mr. Lesser. And Mr. Bress, we'll give you a couple minutes for rebuttal.
Well, thank you, Your Honor. Much appreciated. We sympathize, actually, with the shipper's view that this has taken far too long. As to wiping out their entire rate relief, of course, our point is the obverse of that, which is it's rightly wiped out because it was created by an overinflation of revenues, and frankly, we're not overcharging to the extent that they were saying we were. But let me get to the point of what was actually argued here and what's within the scope, because I think that's actually the point. Now, they say, had we brought this issue up in 2007, that would be one thing. Well, let's read from the board understood what we said in 2007. On page 4 of their current order, the board says in 2007, BNSF stated that even if the board were rightly concerned with ensuring a revenue allocation under which the SAR would cover the incumbent's variable costs on each movement, the board had no valid reason to apply modified ATC to those crossover movements that, in fact, covered those costs under the original ATC methodology. So there we have the board understanding precisely what we said in 2007, which is, at the very least, don't apply this method where there's no reason to apply it. They say we said it. We did say it. If we look back to 2007, you'll see it there in our reconsideration motion. But let me carry it through, because it's not, of course, the only time we said it. If you go to our third supplemental reply evidence, which is our first ability to respond to the new traffic, the new SAR that was actually created, the way we read their SAR, we didn't see any movements at all where the on-SAR aspect of a crossover wouldn't get revenue at least equal to its variable costs. So we reacted to that immediately in the third supplemental reply, saying, in any event, there's no reason to apply modified ATC in this case because none of the traffic even poses the problem that the board's concerned with. Now, that's, of course, the same argument we were making before, just now as to the facts of this case. When we came up on appeal to this court, we thought the same thing, and we made the same argument. As this court has seen, we argued towards the end of our brief and also in the summary of argument that, at the very least, you shouldn't be applying modified ATC here because none of the traffic here calls for it. Now, on remand to the board, we realized and agreed with the board that, no, actually, 3 of the movements out of 28 do pose the problem the board's concerned with. Now, in other words, $600,000 of revenue would have to be reallocated. But in order to do that, when you apply modified ATC, you shift $12 million of revenue in the other direction just for that 1 year alone. Multiply that by 20 years, certainly that does account for a lot of the purported overcharge. $9 million of the $12 million that shifted is purely on traffic that doesn't pose the problem that they've identified. That's the double counting problem that we put to this court to begin with. It's the double counting problem that they failed to address on remand. And what they've done in the subsequent rulemaking is say, we agree with you. Modified ATC should not be applied when ATC is not a problem. That's the very first comment that is made in rate reforms. When they describe how it works, the new method, page 32 of their regulation rate reform says, alternative ATC follows the ATC approach, but with a modest adjustment only as needed to ensure that the revenue allocation does not drive the allocation below the variable costs of providing service. We agree. They also say, if the original ATC approach worked as intended in major issues, meaning it allocated revenues in accordance with relative average costs, thereby maintained the relationship between revenue and costs that would exist in the complete SAC analysis, without driving the revenue below variable costs, in other words, without creating the problem that they've identified, then we would use that revenue allocation. Precisely. It's literally what we've been asking them to do since 2007. There is no argument whatsoever that it's not what we argued then, what we argued before this court, and within the scope of the remand.
Thank you, Mr. Bress. Case is submitted.